No, thank you.
Somebody told me that one time.
Hey, brother, just in case. As soon as I say I don't know. It's good to be here. I'm fearful. I'm fearful to stand here. I'm fearful to be in front of the Lord's people in the house of the Lord. I'm not afraid of you all. I've known most of you all my life. Y'all have been very sweet to me. I love you all very much. I'm thankful to know you. I'm thankful for you. I'm fearful because we have an almighty and all-powerful God. And as I stand here in front of you to do my very best to proclaim his power and greatness, I do not want to speak out of turn. I do not want to speak out of line. I do not want to speak and be perceived as angry or upset. Because I am none of those things, and I don't want to upset you or make you angry or hurt your feelings or any of that stuff, because I love you all so very much. So pray for me.
Amen.
That everything that I will say will be to the praise and the honor and the glory of our good Lord, which is why we're all here.
Amen.
I believe. Pray for me. Pray for one another. I think it's already been expressed in the prayer that's come before. We need the Lord. We need the Lord in every bit of what it is that we do, whether we're moving around in this world or anything we do, just getting out of bed in the morning, making any movements, making any sort of physical moves, or making any sort of decisions, or It's a never-present need of God. It's an ever-present need of the Lord, because any time that I get the feeling like I can do anything without him, or I stop thinking about him, or I make a move in the direction that I hadn't considered or I hadn't thought about which way I ought to go, I mess up. I get off track. And so often we have this thought that we just know what to do, right? Because that's how we are. We're human beings, and God gave us good brains and gave us the ability to think and the ability to reason, and we're sinful and we're prideful, and we have that in us, and the old prideful nature tells us that our way is the right way, when it's not. It's not the right way. As a matter of fact, it'll send us down the wrong road every time when we're just trying to take care of what we call the lust of the flesh or the desires of the flesh, the things that may feel good or look good or taste good or whatever sort of what our definition of good is. These things are not good for us at all. I've got a lot of scriptures on my mind. I know as I stand here in front of you that I want to be edifying to you. I want to be uplifting, but I also know that if the Lord doesn't bless me with that word or with that, there's nothing I'm going to stand here and do other than just talk to you. And I don't want to do that. So again, pray for me. A lot of things on my head. I want to give us some good news that I've been thinking about, because the world is a fearful place. It's a scary place when you think of all the things that go wrong out there on a day-to-day basis, just in the afflictions of the flesh, the things that we hear about that go on in our loved ones, the disease, the things that we can't do anything about, the cancer that just, it's the the other diseases, the things that come up on us that we can't do anything about, that are life-changing and life-altering, that take your natural life away from you. It's the wages of sin. It's a fearful thing, and can be a fearful thing if you think about that's where it ends, or that's where it all goes, or that's right. Or you think about getting in the car and driving up the road, and hopefully, you know, or getting in the plane. People, I don't like to fly, you know, and the reason I don't like to fly is because I don't want to be in a plane crash, right? That's probably the number one reason I don't want to fly. I guess there's fear in almost everything that we do in this world, right? Except in the Lord, there's not fear, there's peace. There's the opposite of that. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I feel like that's some really good news.
Amen.
That we hear this afternoon. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That spirit of fear runs rampant in the world. It's there. We've got a place here in the Lord's church and through the Lord by his grace that he's given us. That he's not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love. Now that's not of us. That's not through us. That's not anything to do with us. We didn't get that from ourselves. We didn't manifest that ourselves. We know that in us there is nothing that is good. We are sinful creatures. In Adam we all died. But we have a great God who sent his Son, and by his grace he saved our sins and imputed his righteousness into us and gave us this new creature, because we've been made alive. And he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. The ability to love comes through Christ first loving us. Amen. That Christ first loved us, that's how we even know how to love. I can't fathom the amount of love that Christ has for us. That's how deep it is. His understanding is infinite. Christ is love. So if his understanding is infinite, then his love is infinite. It's full. It never stops. It's unconditional. Right? Sometimes our love as human beings is conditional. It's a quid pro quo. You know, if I get this for that, I'll love you if you love me. I'll give you this if you give me that. Christ loved us. We never gave him anything. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were not good to look at. We were not pleasant to look at. But it says, I don't want to get there yet, but I want to get to something else. But I'm running off at the mouth, so I apologize here.
No,
but
you're doing fine.
But here's something I want to tell you about. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. And for a long time, I didn't say nothing about this word, because I was ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. I don't know why. As a young man, sometimes I was afraid when I would go into a restaurant and we would have prayer that I didn't want to be seen having prayer. I'm not sure why sometimes I felt that way. I know it was sinful. I know sometimes I didn't tell people exactly where I was going or what I was doing. And I'm not sure why I felt that way. I'm not sure why. Because I was sinful. Because I was walking, I was walking with the counsel of the ungodly, standing in the way of the sinner, trying to look after the way of the world, wanting to fit in and conform with the world instead of being transformed into the new creature that I'd been made into. And I don't know if I'd been made into a new creature or not at that point in my life, but I don't think I was, because I was so worried about what the world thought. So many times I've been worried about what the world thought. I would tell you, I'm not worried about what the world thinks today, and I'm not ashamed to tell everybody about Jesus Christ and how good he's been to me and how much he's done for me and how much he's changed my life and how much he's changed everything around me and how much he's given me. An old rotten sinner, no count, nothing like me. He reached down and loved me and picked me up and turned me around and showed me where the good things are and showed me where you can find peace and rest, where there's a place in this world that we can come to when the toils of life are raging and the storms are going on. There's a little cleft in the rock here in this church that we have where we can come to and rest and wait patiently for his return. And I don't want to be ashamed ever again to tell everybody I know that I love God and that God loves me. And we should be thankful for that. We should be appreciative for that. I wanted to use a word right there that we use all the time. We shouldn't use that word, that old P word. I can't stand it. It's stuck in my vocabulary sometimes because I've used it so often. That word, the proud word. Like we say it so often, and it gets in our way every time. Every time pride is in the way, just about. So I don't want to say that, but I can be a little bit proudful in the Lord. Maybe that's not the word. Maybe it's a boldness in the Lord. It's a boldness in the Lord that I have. It's through the Lord. I can tell you that. That's where it's got to be from. It's through the Lord, it's by the Lord, and it's got to point to the Lord. If it doesn't point to the Lord, if it goes anywhere else other than to the Lord, it's in the wrong place and it ain't the right thing. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. It's good to be a prisoner of the Lord. It's good to be in his bonds. That's a good place to be locked up in. It's a good place to not, because you're a prisoner, you can't get out of it. Oh, it's hard to get out of it. You got to work to get out of it. I'm a prisoner of be the prisoner of the Lord, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, and called us with an holy calling. Not according to our works, nothing we did here. I didn't choose to do anything. I didn't take an action. Nothing I did. A work is a movement. I had to work. But this is, he saved us. Who has saved us? According to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to what? His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus when? Before the world began. Before I was here, before you were here, before anything was here, before anything was ever made, we were called. When he died on the cross, we were saved. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. The wages of sin is death. That is the law. He didn't just abolish the law, he fulfilled the law. He brought the law to completion, to perfection. The law was there. The law was good. It was given to us for a reason. It was given the law was given to us to keep us under subjection and let us know that we were sinful. It was designed to make us aware of that sin. But if we didn't have a law, we wouldn't know we'd broke one. If there was no, I've heard it said, if there was no speed limit out here, people could just run however they wanted because you wouldn't know what was right or what was wrong. That's why you have a law. I've been saying a lot at work. We we're going through these things at work right now where I'm trying to, we don't have any processes because we just had a bunch of people that knew what to do when they were supposed to do it. Well, now those people don't work there anymore.
Yeah.
So everybody that knew the law is gone. So when you don't have any law, you got nothing to hold anyone accountable to. There was an accountability to the law. We were accountable for our actions. And Adam, when we died, we had a law that was given to us that we had to keep in order to make ourselves right in order to be with the Lord. And guess what? We couldn't fill it. We couldn't hold up our end of the stick. We wanted everything under the sun, and we still do. To a certain extent, we, as human beings, we feel like we ask for a whole lot. And we get things, the Lord blesses us with things abundantly above everything we could possibly want. And still, I find myself asking for more. Oh, I don't have this. I don't have that. I have so many things I should be thankful for. I shouldn't ever ask Him for another thing. I should just be saying all the time, thank you, Lord. It ought to be thank you for this and thank you for that and thank you for that. And if I did that all the time, I wouldn't ever have time to ask for nothing else. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That is not the gospel. The gospel is the word of God, the living word of God, the word that Jesus Christ came and preached to us as when He was made flesh and brought to earth. He delivered His word there. He is the word of God. He's the living word. Now we have the written word, but the word does not give you eternal life.
No.
People don't need to hear the gospel in order to be saved eternally.
Correct.
The eternal salvation came through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who goes back to that foreknowledge, who looked back to that before the world with that holy calling. That's where the choice is made. And that has nothing to do with any of us. Thank the Lord. It does, because otherwise you'd be depending on me today for me to save you, and I'd be depending on you for me to not let you, for me to do my job or whatever I felt like my role was. It would make my labor really a whole lot harder. It would make Brother Daddy's labor a whole lot harder. Imagine if you felt like you had to save every soul that you came across. I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Who would want to be in a belief system where you had to count on me? Y'all know me. Would y'all believe something where you were dependent upon my word to get your eternal soul saved? That's like buying sushi from a gas station 7-Eleven. You wouldn't do that. It's not right. It just doesn't make any sense. Would you believe that? Would you believe that about? Think about it. I don't mean to make light. Excuse my. What I'm trying to say is that if you put man in anything, if your trust and your hope is in man, it's in the wrong spot, because they're gonna let you down every time. And I don't care how good they are.
Right.
I don't care how good they are. And I don't, it could be making hotel reservations. It could be making any sort of thing. You think about something, anything. You want to talk about your eternal salvation? You're going to put that in the hand of a mortal? I thank the Lord we don't have that. Thank the Lord He chose me before time. Thank the Lord I didn't have nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Because if I did, I'd have messed it up.
Yeah.
Wouldn't I? You would have too. You'd have messed me up trying to fix me.
Amen.
I don't mean that hateful, brother. I'm telling you that, and I'm not just picking on him. I'm saying that we can say that with anything. Any one of us can say that. We have an all-powerful God. You know what all-powerful means? That means every bit of the power in the whole place goes right there.
Right. Amen.
That means there's no power for anybody else. Nothing else works. It doesn't work. He's all powerful.
Amen.
One more scripture that's been on my head, because, and then I'll try to get it away, Brother Daddy.
You're
not got
in
time.
The way. When you're done, we're done.
Yeah. Don't tell me that, because I just flipped over here.
That's okay.
Isaiah chapter 4, it says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Comfort ye, my people. Our brother Daddy used to say, it didn't say scare ye. It says, comfort ye, my people. Amen. Notice it didn't say all people.
Right.
It didn't say comfort ye, everybody. It said, comfort ye, my people. How did we get to be his people? Because he chose us.
Amen.
He made choice of us. He calls us my people. I like hearing my people. That makes me feel good right out the gate. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. I love that word, accomplished. I look over here in the middle. I got one of those Bibles that says that's in the middle, and it just says ended. 42. And I know her warfare is ended, but it's more than ended. It's accomplished. Right, there's a certain way you can end something, right? But it didn't say ended. It didn't write ended there. It says accomplished. That means I did. It's finished.
Right.
It's over. It's been. It's not just been. It's not just over. It's won.
Right.
Right? We won.
Right.
We won because God won. We didn't do anything. Sit on the sidelines, watch a game. Don't mean that like that. I'm speaking as men do. I apologize. What I'm saying is we had nothing to do with it, with that victory. That was Christ's victory. That was victory of Jesus that we sing about. Speak ye comfortably. I'm trying to do that to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Christ died on the cross for us. He had pardoned our iniquity. Her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. I don't know exactly what that means, but here's what I tell you what it feels like to me, is my sin debt was paid, right? So it's like you owe some money. I owe a certain debt. I pay that debt, and then I don't pay the debt. Somebody, the Lord comes, pays my debt, and then makes me rich.
Right.
On top of it.
That's it.
Not only did he pay the sin debt, he gave me some and made me rich.
Amen.
He lifted me up. He filled my pockets full. That's good news.
Yes, it is.
That is good news. That is comforting news. If I told you right now that every debt you had was paid off, and then you got some more on top of it, you'd probably run out here shouting. Amen. You ought to be shouting today, because I got better news for you. Because this stuff won't fade away. Moss and rust don't corrupt.
Right.
I don't know exactly what that says, but it says there.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to tell you about it. I'm happy to tell you about it. You know why I'm happy to tell you about it? Because you didn't have to work to get it. You didn't have to toil. You didn't have to labor. We didn't have to do any of that. It's free.
Yeah.
It's free grace. And it's so good. It's better than anything you can go out here and buy anywhere you want to go. Pick a spot in the world. Pick the most beautiful spot you've ever seen. Set yourself up with an all-inclusive, everything you could ever ask for. It won't touch what we have. And it surely won't touch what we're going to get. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. I love the Lord. I love his consistency. I love how he put, I tell you what, he gave these words to the prophet Isaiah back in the time in the Old Testament when the Babylonians were getting ready to take over. And he says, he's talking here, I believe there's a prophecy here that speaks of John the Baptist. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So it was good for the prophet in the Old Testament time, right? It was also good for the apostles of the New Testament time to come back to Isaiah and say, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, because make straight in the desert a highway for our God, right? Because Here comes the Son of God, Jesus. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And that was foretelling of Jesus' first coming down here. It's definitely foretelling of his second coming down here, I do believe, brother. I hope I'm not wrong on that. Because we should be preparing. That's what our ministers should be doing today. That's what we should be preaching about today, is preparing ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. We should be getting ready. We should be excited about getting ready. We should be coming to the house. This is what the Lord has given us, this little church right here. Not talking about the building. The building's been here a long time. It's looked a lot different in a lot of different places and a lot of different lights. Had a lot of different good old brethren and sisters come and go. And that's been wonderful. Those times are wonderful. But every bit of those times, every bit of those memories, every bit of that has everything to do with the Spirit of God and what we have here together through His Spirit and the spiritual blessings that we have here in heavenly places, not natural buildings. This church, the building could burn to the ground. It wouldn't touch the church.
Oh, amen.
It wouldn't touch this church. Might have to move here. We might have to move over there. But where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst, and that's where the church will be.
Amen.
And until God removes the candlestick, the church is open.
Amen.
And let's pray we don't have the candlestick removed.
Amen.
Because that doesn't have anything to do with who's here. We could have every bench full. We could have every bench full and the side full. We could have everything we wanted to under the sun. We could have an ice cream social, a basketball team. We could have a pretty good choir program. We got some good singers. We got people to sing parts. We're really good at that. But it's not what the Bible tells us to do. It's not how it tells us we're supposed to worship. It's not what we're supposed to talk about. Christ and Him crucified. And that's it. So we should let our light shine. That's how we get them in. Talk about the Lord. Invite people to church. Be kind to the people you don't know.
Right.
Be kind. Take heed not to sin with your tongue. You see them words in the Bible, take heed. It means it. Take heed. Right? Oh, I mean it. You ever see a sign? You see them old cartoons when I was little. You see a sign that says, take heed. That means watch out.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible a lot. Yeah. Take heed. Be careful we don't sin with our tongue. Be careful what we say. Be careful who we're talking to. Be careful of who you're waving at in a not so good way going down the road. God is always with you.
Amen.
He is always with me. And I have to remind myself a lot of that. Most of the time after I done already messed up. Right? Most of the time, that's when it's called into remembrance. Because I war against my flesh. There's a battle I'm fighting. That I will fight and continue to fight in this flesh until the good Lord sees fit to call me home. And that's another funny thing about being an old Baptist. We can't wait. We can't wait to get out of here. But that being said, I love being alive too. I love my life. Why do I love my life? Because the good Lord gave it to me. And He's blessed me with it. And He's blessed my eyes. He's blessed my ears. So when I hear good preaching, I know it's the truth. Flip over here to Philippians. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is a peace in our good Lord that you can't find anywhere else, knowing that you don't have to work so hard for it anymore because God's taking care of it. And if he can bless me to put my pride aside and let me to realize and know that I can't do a thing and haven't done a thing, have never done a thing, so why am I trying to do something now? He gives me an opportunity to sit down and go, thank you, Lord. I appreciate everything you've done for me because you've shown me that I don't have to toil. I don't have to fight. I have to pray. I have to pray. You make intercession for me, Lord, please. I need to ask forgiveness for my sins because I know I'm going to commit them. One point in time, you didn't even care. You still start sinning. You don't ask forgiveness for your sins because you don't sin so many you can't remember. Sometimes make to the point you just want to give up. I was going to say, forgive me for all this. We should get to the point. We should work so hard to try and get to the point where we should try to remember our sins. We should try to remember our trespasses so we can ask ourselves for forgiveness. Because believe me, sinful nature, there's a lot we won't remember. I guess what I'm trying to say there is, brethren, if we know we're sinners and we know we're prone to sin, let's not go down the roads that lead us to sin. Let's not put ourselves into situations that we shouldn't be in. God has given us and blessed us with a mind and a word here and a direction and a path with how there's a way we're to walk. There's a way we're to talk. There's a love that we're supposed to have for the children of God. And the children of God are in the world. We don't know who is and who isn't. As we heard Brother Jason preach last week and we've heard preach before, we don't get to do that. We don't get to do that. It's a good thing, too, because I know if some people saw me and judged me, I'm gone. I believe if some people saw you at your worst point, you're probably gone, too. There's nothing. Without Christ, we're all the same. We're all lost. bound for eternal damnation. So let's not judge others. Let's just love them. Our job, our role is to love them. That's the assignment. The assignment is to love without asking, without looking for return. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do we think on? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Well, what's true and what's honest and what's just and what's pure and what's lovely and what's of good report? Does that sound like anything outside of there? Does that sound like anything you hear on CNN or Channel 7 or WFTR or wherever? No. None of those things. So, brethren, let's not walk out the door and go sink our teeth right into them. Let's go home and read Isaiah 40. And comfort ye, my people. Let's read about the birth of our Savior. Let's read about the death of our Savior. Let's read about the resurrection of our Savior. There's everything you could ever want in this book, in this Bible, in this Word of God. We go home and we want to scroll through action, comedy, drama, this, that, and the other. I'm tired of drama in my life. Aren't you? I don't want any more of that. This book has everything you could ever want. You want some action? It's in there. And not only is it in there just to entertain you, it'll teach you. It'll guide you. It'll show you because the Lord's written it on your heart when he makes it manifest to you after you prayed because we prayed, Lord, give me knowledge. That's what it means by seeking, you shall find. That's not me seeking heaven. That's, Lord, give me some knowledge. Please, Lord, help me know what I read. Help me to understand. I get excited.
Good.
I love the Lord. He's great. He takes care of us. We don't even know it. We're all walking miracles in one way or another. And he's given us this little church down here that we should never take for granted. And when the doors are open, we should be in it. And when we're out and about and we say, where are you headed this weekend? Well, guess what? I'm at Zoom church on Saturday. And then I'm at church on, not to puff myself up, not to make myself look good, not to say, hey, I'm doing something, but hey, brother, I'm a sinner too, and I know a place for sinners just like you. They love you here. They let me in the door. This isn't a place where people come to be better than anybody else. The good Lord gave us a church where we can understand we're sinners, understand we need the Lord, understand that we need a place to get healed, understand. I think that's why we're here now, because we know we need Jesus. I need Jesus. I can't make it without him. I can't make it to Wednesday off of Sunday. I can't. There are nights I'd like to. Sometimes I get in the flesh. I'm coming home. It's late. I don't work late. I haven't seen my wife. But you know what? You know what's good? Thank the Lord. I thank the Lord so much because she needs him too.
Amen.
She's in bad shape too. So you know what? Instead of fighting with each other, it's just, don't say nothing. Sit down and cut on Brother Eddie. Right? Just be ready at 7 o'clock when it cuts on, or 7 o'clock, we get there a little late. But I look forward to that. Not because Brother Eddie's counting and checking the box on whether I come or not. Matter of fact, I don't know if Brother Eddie even cares if I come or not. I'm sure he does. But I'm not there for Brother Eddie. God didn't send me there for Brother Eddie. He sent me there for me, and I can tell you, for me, I need him. Because I'm sideways by Wednesday. I'm off the rails. I'm a sinner. I can't get right. I'll never get right. Ain't it great we don't have to on our own? Ain't it great that the good Lord made us perfect? Ain't it great that the good Lord made us complete? Ain't it great? Ain't it great that he gave us a little spot here where we can go and hear the good news? And yeah, you're all messed up, but you won't be after a while. Right? Won't be after a while. Be patient. Be of good cheer. Be thankful. Wait on the Lord. In due time, Lord, come quickly. If I've said anything this evening that's been, I hope anything that I've said of any value has been to the praise, honor, and glory of the Lord. And anything that I've said has been otherwise, I pray that I be forgiven of that. Y'all continue to pray for me. Thank you for your kind attention. I love y'all so very much. God bless you.
Bless your heart. That's good preaching.
I love you.
I love you too. The Lord is good to you, son. 190.